MPs will discuss a new bill today which, if passed, will make it harder for workers to strike. It would make it illegal to hold strike action unless there is at least a 50% turnout, and 40% or more of those people eligible to vote must back the strike before it can be called. Ministers say it's about ensuring working people are not disrupted by strikes that lack popular support, but unions say it's an attack indeed on workers' rights. I'm joined by Kevin McAdam from Unite the Union and the commentator Geoffrey Peel. Good morning to you, gentlemen.
Good morning, Enda.
So spell this out first, Kevin. What's going to be the implications if this does in fact become law?
Well, as you said, Enda, it's going to make it all but impossible for many strikes to take place. But I think what this actually is the Tory government having a further attack on workers and working people. What we saw last week in the budget was the people that got hurt most are the low-paid workers. Those are the people that lost out most. And here we are, we're going to stifle any chance of them to protest.
But do you not appreciate the point of view that a lot of people's lives are disrupted by strikes sometimes, and then whenever they drill a bit deeper, they discover maybe only 10 or 15% of the workers on strike bother to vote?
Well, you know, we can make comparisons across how many Tory MPs would be in their seats if the same law was applied to elections. So that is the nature of how trade unions do their business. Yes, if there are low votes on time, but those are democratic decisions. And what we're doing here and what the Tories are doing is stifling democracy.
What have you got to be afraid of? A 50% turnout, does it not seem pretty reasonable?
We will exercise democracy in the same way as the electorate do. So we take a simple majority. That's what we're saying. That's what the British democracy has been based on for many, many years. And that's what we're saying should apply. What they're trying to do is restrict it to a way where strikes become so difficult to do that they can't go ahead. But I'll tell you one thing, Enda, that what the government need to take mind of is the working people will not stand by and have all of their laws repealed and their rights. What they're doing is taking their rights away. I don't think the working class people will accept that. What you're going to find is you're going to find a very bad reaction to this.
Geoffrey?
Well, the working class people, of course, didn't vote Labour. The working class people elected a Conservative government, a majority Conservative government, and the majority Conservative government campaigned on an election manifesto which indicated that these laws would be changed and that unions would be democratised. Everybody would agree that a turnout of 15% or less. You know, Len McCluskey, the General Secretary of the Unite Union, was elected on a turnout of around 15% of union members. And, of course, he didn't get that all of those union members voting for him. I think he got about 8% of the total membership of the Unite Union elected their General Secretary. So Unite isn't really accustomed to democracy. Many of these large unions have scant regard for the membership and are governed by politburos that enforce policy and indeed enforce strikes that the public don't want and often that the union membership doesn't want. So I think this is a step in the direction of democratising trade unions. It's long overdue, and the public have an expectation that if a strike happens, that a majority of union members have been involved in the process of deciding in that strike. A 40% mandate for that strike seems to be very, very sensible and acceptable to the general public.
Isn't that a fair point, Kevin?
No, absolutely not. I don't know what sort of world Geoffrey's democracy comes from. But let me tell you this, what you're saying is, if you want to do this right, because what Geoffrey's saying is people who choose not to vote have no rights. The people who choose not to vote are exercising their democratic right as well, whether it's through laziness or we're actively choosing to not take part in the election. So that's democracy as well. Now, if he wants to turn it around where voting in general elections is mandatory, voting in any industrial action is mandatory, and everyone has to vote one way or the other, I'll take that one on. And then he'll see how the people actually speak when they have to vote.
OK, let's hear from Alex in Lisburn. Alex, go ahead.
No, I would support this here. I mean, when you listen to that man from the unions, you'd imagine that if you didn't vote, you weren't obliged to go on strike. The truth is, if you're a member of a union and your union runs a ballot and, say, 16% turnout, And if that 60% vote for strike action, you're expected to vote. You're expected to go on strike, whether you voted or not. So it's not as though those that don't vote opt out of the strike. They're expected to go on strike. And you'll have people whose lives have been disrupted because maybe 7%, 8% of a union decide they want to strike. And that can't be right. If the unions are up to their job, they shouldn't have a problem getting the 50% turnout. If they're doing their job right, and if the members feel strongly enough, what's the issue? Why is it an issue if the members feel strongly enough?
They'll vote. Yeah, stay with us. I'll put that point to Kevin. Isn't that a fair point? A lot of people making that online already. If the anger's there enough to go and strike, then surely people will have the will to go and cast their vote.
Well, the first thing is strike action is usually the last tool of the trade unions. Negotiating our way through difficult situations is what we do. Strike action is only taken as a last resort. So you need to understand that. And what we need to do is make sure that if you remove the final issue, which is the right to strike, then I think you'll affect the whole balance of negotiating.
And Geoffrey, what about that view? I know a lot of unions hold it as well, that it should be made easier for people to cast their vote when it comes to ballots. It should be done electronically now as opposed to having been done in the postal vote. Surely that's a grievance that should be addressed.
Absolutely. I have a lot of sympathy for that angle as well. I think unions have been, and particularly the Unite Union and some of the bigger unions with very large membership bases. Of course, those membership bases, by the way, over the last sort of couple of decades have been declining. But they've given scant regard to making electronic a lot of the consultation processes and voting processes with their membership base, and therefore they have abrogated their responsibilities. Now, if the result of this legislation is that unions start thinking about how they engage their membership base, and get that membership much more participative, I think that'll be a move in the right direction, because then perhaps they'll see that their members would be much more inclined to active negotiation rather than taking that last resort action as a first resort. Because sometimes, particularly in the case of the public sector unions, we get the impression that it's a first resort action, that
they're too strike happy
by default.
Yeah, too strike happy, Kevin, sometimes.
Well, again, I don't know about Geoffrey's world, because it seems different to the one I live in. I can tell you now from Unite. Unite have lobbied for electronic voting in industrial actions throughout the last Parliament. And again, the Tory party were the ones that knocked it on the head, and they won't entertain it now. So that's what's happened, right? We would happily engage in electronic voting. We think that's the way forward. But it's the government, and that brings us to the heart of what is actually at this bill, because there's a lot of other issues in that bill, and this is about union bashing, and it's about the Tories trying to out-Thatcher Thatcher. And that's
Let's get real here. I've indicated that I would absolutely be supportive of a move towards electronic voting. I think that should apply in terms of our wider democracy as well, but that's a separate issue. You know, the fact is that we have not seen the levels of participation in votes that we would expect. And the fact is that in terms of our democratic elections, in terms of the popular vote, even in Northern Ireland, where we have the lowest turnout in general elections in the UK, we still managed to achieve over 50% of the popular vote. That is not the case in trade unions. You have abrogated your responsibility. Unions are clearly not democratic institutions, and that has to change. And this legislation is well overdue.
And what's going to happen, Kevin, if this does come to pass and this law is put in place? Because I noticed some of the unions, Unite included, have suggested that they're going to ignore this.
Well, there's a number of things might happen. Certainly, we will take our own counsel on this when the law is passed, or if the law is passed. But what might happen as well is one of the things we do try to do responsibly is to stop lightning strikes. And that's what part of the law has been in place that prevents that.
If a union calls an illegal strike, then, for instance, if this law is passed and a union calls an illegal strike, what can employers do in those circumstances?
Well, that remains to be seen. Mm-hmm. What would we do if the law was passed? We'll have to take a view on that. But what I would have concern about is strikes that are not called by trade unions could very much come to the fore.
But the issue here, though, is that the rules of the United Union have been changed to allow illegal strike action, regardless of the nature of the law. Now, that says an awful lot about trade union, and particularly the Unite trade union, in terms of how it views the law and how it views popular democracy. The fact is that the Conservative government has a mandate to govern, and in fact, it's questionable whether many of the senior members of the Unite union have a similar mandate. They've been elected on tiny turnouts, mm-hmm. and with only a minority participation in those turnouts.
What about that, Kevin? You've now put on your constitution, more or less, that you're prepared to break the law. It's not very responsible, is it?
Well, bad laws, we'll have to take the appropriate action and the appropriate response. Not all laws are good. And if we go back a long time, when the outset of industrial action started, there was no law to cover it. So I'm not so sure that we will stand by and say, hold on, we're going to break the law. That's not what we will do. But we will defend our right to withdraw labour.
OK, let's hear from Sean and Enniskillen. Sean, go ahead.
Kevin, I think you should apologise. You've just described those people that don't turn out for a ballot as being lazy. These are the people that pay your wages.
Sean, I didn't describe them as lazy.
Of course you did. Yes, you did. Don't deny it.
Or they actively choose not to vote, is what I said.
You say they're lazy.
Put them in either.
You say they're lazy. Be that they're lazy or for whatever reason. Now, they have every right to exercise their right.
To actively exercise their right not to vote. I fully respect that, Sean.
Then why don't you respect democracy?
That is democracy, where people choose not to vote.
Of course it is. Well, then you respect it.
Absolutely, and that's why our General Secretary was elected, as Geoffrey points out, and he is legitimately
15%,
elected.
15%, Kevin, is not democracy. And please don't call working people lazy.
I'm not calling working people lazy.
Of course you did. Don't deny it. Play it back. Just play it back. Play back what you said. Let's have a Jim Wells moment out of you.
Oh, God. Hold on, Sean. Let Kevin respond. Let Kevin respond.
There are many reasons why people choose not to vote. And maybe lazy was the wrong choice of words, and it might be one of them, but I'm happy to apologise in that respect.
Okay, let's get a quick word from John. John's in Belfast. Go ahead, John.
I know my point would be the Tory government got on with a low majority of votes. You know what I mean? So, you know, when you have that in elections for governments, why are you trying to restrict unions to more than 50%? Let's do the same when we're voting for governments. You know, let's make it compulsory that everybody should vote then.
Okay,
you
John.
And 203 Tory MPs would not be elected if that were the case.
Okay, gentlemen, we're going to leave it there. Thank you very much indeed for that. Kevin McAdam from the Trade Union Unite, Geoffrey Peel, the commentator. Thanks as well to John and Sean.